Not everybody has experienced the presence of God. And this morning, the sweetness of the Lord that was in this place, and as somebody testified, and they've been raised in a lot of their life in church and all, but it was sort of a structured, formal thing. And this morning, as this little mom had experienced the presence of Jesus and tearfully, I've never felt that before. And I want to assure you that the presence of God is more than a feeling, because you can get a excitement when Baylor's winning football games and a good year and good season, all that, and you know that can turn in overtime when things go the other way. I'm for Baylor. I'm just saying that those emotions, that they can flip. But boy, in the presence of God, go ahead, Lord. So I'm talking a deeper thing than just an emotional excitement or high, but the presence of Jesus. And you know that we don't have to come to church to have that. And we ought to come, and you have come, and you gather together and worship. But really, for us, we can embrace His presence every day. And whether I sense tears running down my face or I don't, He is still worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Whoa, that's all good tonight. I want to do something again a bit different. Give me about 5 minutes to begin some things, and then we're gonna do some things corporately. Gonna have a couple of mics going back and forth here, and I want to define something for you, because some of you are familiar with this and some of you aren't. We're gonna set something up, and then we're gonna kind of follow a pattern, and we're still on countdown to Christmas. That's not very long from now. We've got about 2 weeks left in this decade. Do you realize that? How we walking this thing out? I want to finish this decade out well. I want to bust. If Jesus hadn't come back first, I'm going to bust into the next decade. I want to bust in it running. Now, because God's not through with us, and if you won't check out on Him, He's not checking out on you. So embrace His grace and what He's doing. Let me give a clarification, because much of what we are going to get of the Word of God, it's not going to come just when you're sitting in this room. All of us ought to be involved in personal Bible study, digesting the Word of God. One method is called inductive Bible study. I won't be long here. That just seems like, you know, it could quickly get boring. Inductive Bible study. That's really what I wanted to hear on this Sunday night. Well, stay with me for just a minute. There's a way that this is going to so enhance us, and maybe you haven't started in your own Bible study. Maybe you're new in Jesus, or maybe you've just been coasting a while. Let me tell you, I really recommend you read one of the four Gospels. That's the first four books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all the story of Jesus. They're told in different perspectives, have different elements in them, but one, the central truth of Jesus, His death, His resurrection, all the power of Jesus at work, the story of Christ in this form. I recommend that you start there, chapter by chapter. But some of the several things, let me put six things up on the screen here together that maybe will help you, as serves as a pattern for our own personal Bible study. Number one, if you can find out the background of a book of the Bible, I said I'm going to go through this real quickly, so just stay with me. Background of a book, obviously, you're reading the book of Philippians, you understand this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church and Christians at the city of Philippi. It has application to us. Let me not get ahead of myself. Number one, check the background. It will enhance your Bible study. Number two is, when you read a verse, you can make a personal paraphrase. What's this really saying in your own words? Maybe you want to write it down. Maybe you want to speak it out loud. Number three, questions and answers. What's a question unanswered here? You can use commentaries. Be careful about what you use, but you can research. Then you can find some other answers there, questions and answers. Number four, cross-references. The best tool of Bible study is that Scripture interprets Scripture. In other words, you find an isolated verse of scripture, and it says something like, you know, something far out, like, I never heard anybody teach this. And cults have been started that way, sort of. Let's just jump on this thing. Man, I think I got a revelation. Nothing else in the Bible supports the line of thinking that you're trying to run down. But you found this verse and you start a whole movement of something on there. No, don't do that. So cross-references is when I find scripture that still says that. You know, number five is write down insights that you have. I don't know about you. I hate to... hate to change Bibles. I wear them out ever so often, but I will have my own notes scribbled down in the Bible and underlined or circled. And so, how many other people write in your Bible? If you think, I think that's disrespectful to write in the Bible. Listen, this is a tool. I've never seen a mechanic that just kept his tools all polished in the toolbox and didn't ever pull them out and use them. They're going to get grease on them and whatever. Are y'all with me tonight? I'm saying use this like a toolbox. And when you jot those things down, there are things that will come to you when you read through a passage. Somebody, I think, was just telling me this week that every time they read, and I could say that for most in here there are Bible students, is you're going to see a nuance, something that's special, something that's a different revelation. I've not seen this before. Circle it, underline it. I've got arrows. I've got stuffed in my Bible. I'm just saying, and if you think, well, man, I got an expensive Bible, well, get you another cheap Bible that you can write in so that it'll be okay. We got paperback ones up here, New Living Translations. You're welcome to take one with you. And then number six, of course, is personal application. Is what's this verse or this passage? Sometimes it's not a verse, because sometimes a thought or a passage is more than just a single verse. It may be a section. What is this really? What's the application for me? And as I just wanted to kind of do, you know, walk through that real quick, the inductive Bible study. You don't have to call it that. You can just say, I'm studying the Word of God. I'm seeking what God's saying there. Tonight I want us to basically follow that process. And as I'll take a few minutes here. We're opening the topic of the title tonight is Let's Be Like the Shepherds. Let's be like the shepherds. I wish somebody'd go get that. She'll tell you. Just hide it for now. Let's be like the shepherd. No, you can bring it all the way up here if you will. Let's be like the shepherds. What do you mean? I need to smell like sheep, you know, or something? Well, not exactly. Except, what did we see on the shepherds on that first Christmas? Talked about some things about first Christmas this morning, but tonight, as we look through just a little passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 2, then I want you to share what insights there are. You may have a take on this passage that references somewhere else. You may have a take on it that says, look, the application that I think God has used that for me. And let's walk through that. I've got about six areas to cover tonight. I'm not married to the outline of this tonight. I want interaction, because in these chairs tonight are sitting people of God who love Jesus. Can I hear one amen out here? Loving the Lord. And God is doing some things, changing hearts in here. Don't be stuck. I've walked with Jesus most of my life, but I'm telling you, God's doing some other things. I just want to put that up. Thank you. I just think this is a reminder to us. God give us shepherd hearts. A guy gave me that years ago as a picture of what we're supposed to be. Really, God give all of us shepherd's heart. Whether you have the title of a pastor or not, there's some dimensions of these shepherds tonight that apply to every single one of us here. Let's be like the shepherds. I think at the Christmas party, Pastor Theresa had asked that. Who were the first ones that actually, what were the individuals or groups that were at the manger scene, the stable in Bethlehem when Jesus was born? And I think somebody said, well, wise men were there. How many believe that? The wise men were there. They weren't the ones. It could have been months before they got there. Actually, the Bible says when they came to Jesus, the child, he was in a house. You can look at that. That's crazy. I think that's in Luke as well, but we're not going there. And so who? Shepherds were there. And the amazing thing that tonight, as I mentioned this morning, these shepherds were not the elite class of that day. And even as shepherds go, you understand that these guys were working the night shift. So they must have had the lowest seniority on the whole totem pole. Shepherds on the night shift. Actually, they stayed with flocks during the night. But let's be like shepherds. Look how the story unfolds. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll see what things we can learn and help us in just a few minutes. I'll get the mics going, and you can have comments and insights that you want to share. Observations, insights, questions, those things. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Read it out loud with me, if you will. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep outside of Bethlehem. Now, that was Bethlehem's shepherds. This is an interesting historical fact. Outside of Bethlehem, those shepherds were known to care for the temple flock. In other words, these guys were very likely tending the sacrificial lambs, those that would be sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem. We could really logically assume, because these were Jewish men who were shepherds, that they were taught in the law of God as they were growing up. You think you have trouble memorizing a couple of verses. Young Jewish men memorized multiple chapters. They weren't in chapters and verses then. But so they were trying, they were growing up as other Jewish young men were, being taught about the Messiah that one day would come. I wonder if they'd discussed that. Maybe one day this promised deliverer would come. We don't know. We don't have a record of their conversation. But we see that at this time, that evening, they weren't in church. They weren't in the synagogue. It doesn't even say they were praying. But it does show that they were diligent in the business of their callings. They were guarding their sheep. Verse 9, read it again with me if you will. Verse 9, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. I say this, I've said it before, but if your picture of an angel is that Cupid, naked baby, fat, whatever, that you see around Valentine's Day, you don't see that in the Bible. When you see an angel showing up somewhere, you see people petrified because the awesomeness of the angels of God. One angel in the Old Testament slayed 280,000, is that right? In the neighborhood, give or take 1,000, I don't know. Maybe more than that. But the angel of the Lord, mighty, mighty. But when it says they were terrified, I looked. There's three different Greek words that are used to translate that one word about terrified. It's something like megas, phobos, phobia kind of stuff. I mean, freak you out kind of stuff. Not because they look like aliens. I think just the awesomeness come from the presence of God shows up in the sheep pasture there where they're keeping their sheep. They were terrified, verse 10, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." Most of the time in the New Testament when that word is used, it's translated good news. It's either translated preach or preach the gospel. Angels came bearing good news. Somebody say good news. It's good news that Jesus came, isn't it? The Savior, verse 11, the Savior, he goes on speaking, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Do you see those descriptive words, the Savior, deliverer? Again, let me interject things. As you're taking the Word of God, then slow down enough to see what the words are and what the description of those words mean. You online free Bible apps, you can download those on your phone. And Savior means deliverer. Messiah, the word that's used there. The Savior, yes, the Messiah. It means Christ, the anointed one. The Lord has been born. The Lord, Master, King, Owner, Ruler, means those things. He's been born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem. In verse 12, it says, and you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. How many have understood you, when you picture that scene in the shepherd's field, you always pictured it with angels singing, glory, something else. But you pictured angels singing. Did it say angels sang there? Nah, they said it. I don't care. They might have sang it too. I'm not trying to make a doctrinal point of that. I'm sure glad y'all are singing praises to the Most High God because you know he did come. Right there. Let's move on. What a sight it's got to be. What we see in these shepherds, several things. This is where I just want your input. And I want us to walk through this in just a moment. I think, Kim, you had a couple of mic carries already picked out. Get on each side over here. I'm going to give you the first example, first one, a sample of one of you on one side, one on the other, and we'll dispatch you to those sections. Let me give you sort of where we can go tonight as we look at and what these shepherds did. If we're going to be like the shepherds, it must be more than carrying a crooked stick. It must be something else. What characteristics did these guys exhibit, demonstrate as they were stopped in their tracks by this angelic, initially the angelic voice and the being, and then the whole armies of God part of that. Number one is they heard the word, because we already read that. I'm just giving you an example of the way you can break this down in your own personal Bible study. Number one, they heard the word. They weren't responsible for initiating it, but they were responsible for hearing. Hearing is the opposite of rejecting the word. There are people that sit under word of God and they audibly hear words, but their hearts are not hearing because they're pushed back from that. You and I, God's initiated his word to us, his good news message of great joy for everyone that we already read about. He told the shepherd, verse 14, I'm going to read it from the New King James that I quoted a moment ago. Glory to God, say it with me. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that particular word toward, some 1,900 times it's used in the New Testament. I didn't count them. I trusted somebody else's count for that. Toward is translated in. In. That toward is translated in. God's will in us is giving peace, goodwill in us. Somebody praise the Lord. Amen. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has come. And God has probably, he's never to me and probably won't to most of us, deliver his word to us through the mouth of an angel. But he has given us his word right here. Says the same thing on Monday that it says on Friday. Open it, look at it, study it, become students, as I mentioned before, of his word. He's revealed his will to us through that. Once we've heard his truth, then we should do what the shepherds did. All right, read this verse, turn you loose. You'll raise your hand, we'll acknowledge you. Luke 2, verse 15. So what else do we see the shepherds doing? If we're going to be like them, we need to see how what's the application for us. Verse 15, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. Daniel, what you got?
Okay. Well, you mentioned that the shepherds heard the word of God.
Yes, sir.
And when it's important that when you're talking about hearing, it's important that you don't just let sound waves enter your ears. That's not really doing it.
Yes.
When you're talking about the word of God, it's also important to when we're listening is also, when you're talking about listening, it's also responding to what
yes.
I hear.
Yes.
If I just let sound waves come out here, if you're saying, hey, you need to do this or that because this, that, I'm like, oh, well, cool. And it just goes in one out the other.
Yes.
I'm not listening.
Yeah,
it's important to respond to that. So when we hear the word of God, if God says, go preach the gospel and the word, oh, okay, if I'm listening, I'm going to go do that.
Yes.
If I'm just, oh, okay, cool, and I skip the next page, then I'm not really listening to God. I'm just acknowledging what he said, more or less.
That is so good. You didn't see my notes. Put number two up there. And then y'all keep on that one verse because there's more in that verse. Would you put point number two up there? Responded in faith. So hearing not only that, but responding in faith. Go ahead, somebody else share. Put verse 15 back up if you don't mind, Miss Mary. So it wasn't just hearing the word. It was them responding that actually put shoe leather to it. You hear a word of the Lord. Let's take it out of the shepherd's field for a minute. Yeah, sitting here angry at somebody because they really wronged you. Anybody in here ever been wronged? Eight, 10 of us have been. I'm kidding. Everybody has. And most of us have wronged others as well. But when we're hearing the word, we're sitting here tonight and God's put something on your heart, you need to apologize to them. But God, I was like 60% right. I don't want to. So responding or hearing the word and responding in faith is getting in agreement with God, and I'm choosing to forgive. Amen. I choose that forgiveness, not in my own ability, but in his ability. Let's go forward with that. Responding in faith. So it has lots of applications, Miss Linda.
Not only did that, they respond, they heard and they responded and said, when they said, let's go to Bethlehem
yes.
and let's see this thing that has happened.
Uh-huh.
So they're believing, they're going by their faith and they're hearing, and because of that, they want to also see with their own eyes.
That's right.
What's going on?
You said they went. They number three, can I throw that up there too? They left where they were. They left where they were. You're saying they heard it, they responded, like you're saying, they had to leave because they wanted to see something. It was beyond just, I'm going to be a passive. If we're not careful, we get a lot of Bible knowledge and we can quote facts about the Bible, but it's not really, we're not moving forward in that. God, whether it is to forgive somebody or it is to share the good news, as you said, with somebody else, to preach the gospel. So I get to share that with that person at Walmart, the gas station, or a family member or something else beyond that. Anything else in that verse that you want to pull out, verse 15? You go, Ken.
I just want to jump back to point number two in responding in faith. I think it's important that as shepherds, that when in this amazing part of the Bible, when the angel appears to the shepherd as they're walking, you know, they responded in faith and went and saw. So I think it's important for us as shepherds that when God speaks to us to do something, that we respond in faith. You know, a lot of times we may get timid or, you know, if God tells you to go speak to somebody, you don't know what that other person's going through. You don't know what they're dealing with.
Yes.
So if God say, hey, I need you to go speak, respond in faith and just step out. God will give you the words to speak. And I just want to say that's important to respond in faith and let God do the work. You know,
that's good.
Give ourselves up.
Amen. Amen. And faith is something beyond my feelings. It's not necessarily in line with my own inclinations. I'm so thankful. It's people with you may be timid and shy in personality, but because you respond in faith, you step out, and I just see the effectiveness of God that becomes incredible. Danny?
I think it's also important to note in the verse it says, let's go, let's do this thing, because we all heard the word of the Lord. I think it's important to surround yourselves with people who are also responsive to what God says.
Hear that. That is so good.
If you're not
good.
Putting yourself in the presence of godly counsel, then they're going to tell you what you want to hear. They're not going to lead you closer to Jesus. And the whole point was you got to get closer to Jesus in order to get to where you need to be.
Who you hanging with? You're hanging with folks who are just going to be, and you know, half-stepping in God? Or you? Because when it says that, the shepherd said to, what? What? Shepherd said, each other. Sometimes I need some extra motivation. Anybody else?
I hear.
Don't you? Somebody said, again, you've heard this saying a lot of times, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. So to get decided about, you're going to hang with folks that are on the journey. And when I might be, you know, I don't feel so much. Come on. They said to each other, let's go. Let's go. Come on. And when we come together in church, do you know Hebrews 10:25? That reference about not forsaking the assembling together of yourselves as the habit of some has become. When it's in the middle of that verse, Hebrews 10:25, that it says, but encourage each other. Encourage in the smack middle of that, exhorting one another so much more. That's our responsibility to each other. And that doesn't mean that everybody who walks in here on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night is on top of everything. There are people who are just pressing through stuff. And you may see them right up here at the front, over here. You may be back in the back worshiping God on purpose, not because everything is great, but they're in a place of encouragement. I'm choosing to do this. I got to go and see what God's laid out in front of me. Sis?
I think that it's not only the matters of faith. When we have a word from God, it's not only to believe it, what He's saying, it's to obey it.
That's right.
Because obedience, faith and obedience walk together.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they come together, and it's a time between that we believe something that the Lord already spoke to us, uh-huh, and we walk it in what the Lord already spoke to us. Like, I mean, like, it's something to believe, and it's something to obey.
That's right.
They
That's right.
walk together, obedience and faith. That meaning send a message to the Lord, that word that He already spoke to us is more than enough for us.
Yes.
To walk it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a child having a relation with her dad. Like when a dad says something to the son or to the child,
mm-hmm,
the son didn't question anything because he believed it. He believed that the best thing that has the best thing for him. So it's like that. It's like if the Lord speaks something, we don't have to question anything.
Uh-huh.
He say it, uh-huh, and that's it. And we obey it. That's why when He said, go to some place, go.
That's right.
Yeah.
Faith isn't words that we speak, but faith is a responsive action. So you said faith and obedience.
Like,
go.
Yes, right,
ma'am. Thank you, Alessandra.
Yep.
Somebody else? Anything else in that verse that we need to pull out? But let's see. Good morning.
I think that because earlier the angels came and they were terrified and they seen the whole group and they were worshiping and whatnot. They wanted to see what are they worshiping? God is here. He's here. He's right here in front of me. Let's go see Him. I'm sure they were excited so they could go and share it amongst the other people. Hey, look, here's God in person, in flesh. So, yeah, they went. They saw.
Yes.
And then they spread the word.
That will
awesome.
Get. They will get to that. There'll be a scripture that'll enumerate that. Absolutely. So the responding in faith, it takes us from where we are to leaving where we are. Are you willing to leave? Am I willing to leave where I am spiritually and grow a little bit? But I'm comfortable right here. Let me not stretch anything. Some of you are in jobs that are, some people there are stretching you outside of your comfort zone. I don't want to be working among these heathen right here. They must be card-carrying heathen. They're certified something. They're crazy. And they seem to hate the gospel, and they seem to hate Christians. And well, hello. Then you're the light in a dark place. If God set you up there, then He's giving you grace to make this thing work out. And don't pop them or, you know, cuss at them or something. That'll mess up the testimony path that God wants you to have. But watch what He'll do. And being willing to occupy where you are. Leave where you've been in the past. Let's go. So they were willing. Somebody, okay, let's go on to verse 16. Did I miss somebody? Right over there. Go, Cole. I didn't see you. Sorry, buddy.
When the shepherds heard the word of God, they didn't doubt. They immediately heard the word and then took it as truth.
Yes.
And I feel like a lot of people, they kind of doubt whenever they hear something. They like don't believe whether it's actually real or not, but they, whenever God says anything, it's immediately true.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Can I reinforce that just a little bit under point number two, Mary? Hearing really demands a response. Truly hearing, and if I'm going to take God at his word, how many believe that this book is true? See, we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, that it's inerrant, without error in its truth, true form. And so we take it and we see something that God says, this is my will for you, my command. This is, in Thessalonians it says, for this is the will of God that you abstain from sexual immorality. So whatever violates that is not following the will of God. But, man, do I want to go down even that path? When I've heard guys, well, God knows I have needs. Hello. Food is a need. Water is a need. Air is a need. You do not need sexual intimacy to live, sir, ma'am. And I'm telling you, God said, possess. Woo. God said, possess your vessel in sanctification. That means a setting apart. So you come across that scripture, then if I really believe that what God said is true, I say, then where I've been, I can't continue there. I got to leave where I am. I got to go a different way. Does that make sense? That's application. Again, hearing that demands a response. In Matthew 7, there's a passage that Jesus taught about. Let's look at that for a few moments. And again, we're talking about Scripture, interpret Scripture. So responding in faith, Matthew 7:24, and leaving where they were. Therefore, Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And we sang a song this morning, a worship song about the rock. Right now, I can't think of what song we sang. The rock won't move. So I will tell you up front, this is a trick question, but I'll just ask you anyway. In this passage of Scripture, building your house on the rock is what? A good... That is a great answer, Haley. She said, building your house on a rock is a good idea. You're so right. So oftentimes people, the response is, well, the rock is Jesus. And we understand that. But really what Jesus is, he's not just saying, well, build your life on me, but look at the rest of this passage, because it ties in with responding in faith and leaving where they were. He said, I liken him to a wise man. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? Does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Rock represents what again? Obedience, responding to God, responding in faith. Because he said, he hears my sayings, Jesus said, and he does them. So he's building his life on a rock. Rain descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, in other words, disobedience, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Do you see the same set of circumstances came against both houses, both lives? Somebody said, you live for God, you got faith, you just won't have problems. Yeah, like if you're fixing to die right now and go to heaven, that's probably true. But if you're going to live beyond that, rains come, floods came, winds blow, those things happen. But your house doesn't, your life doesn't fall apart. I watch people that you would think just in a secular mindset, they should be in an institution somewhere or have checked out because the pressure that's come against them, the circumstances they've walked through. But because they built their their house on a foundation of obeying the Lord and the presence of God in them. And they're surviving, not just surviving, they're thriving. And they're helping other people, saying, you don't have to quit right now. Look, God brought me through this and this. And some of you are in the middle of your testimony being built right now. And you say, the flood is coming, the water's rising, the wind's blowing. I get it. You, listen, just already make up your mind tonight. We're going to keep responding in faith. Can I hear one amen right there? The hearing, true hearing of God demands a response. Hallelujah. See, these shepherds, when they got the word, and I better get to verse 16. Did we go there yet? Let's look at it again. The first part, Luke chapter 2, verse 16. Let's go through the whole verse, if you'll put that entire one up. Verse 16, read it with me. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And let's break that down, would you? We said it under the context of they left where they were, but what else? Somebody said a word over here that stood out to you. They hurried. Okay, expound that a little bit more. Lynn, right there. Are y'all okay with this? See, I wanted this to work so well that when you're home and you're reading a chapter out of the Bible by yourself, that this is like, what do I need to look at further? What do I need to, let me read it again. Listen, I'm okay with you got a through the Bible in a year program, but don't try to speed read through that. You're not trying to just check off, yep, I did 8 chapters today or something. Slow down, slow your roll, baby. It's something else. Just get what God's trying to say, because it will be important. If I'm going to respond in faith, I need to know what he's saying to me and break that down. I'm sorry, Lynn. Go ahead.
Problem. I just don't know how shepherds with sheep can hurry. That had to be supernatural. Okay, I'm just saying. These were just...
You obviously have never chased sheep.
No.
I'm just saying, I don't know.
These were just common men. They hadn't been to the synagogue. They knew about God just from their mother and dad, just talking about it at nighttime probably. That's how the historical word of God went down the traditions. Thank you. So, you know, these guys must have been really just totally freaked out. Regular folk, totally freaked out. And I don't know how, I guess a couple of them staffs, how they got them sheep to hurry to that village. Because in the story, there are sheep there. So they had to herd them there. I think that's,
you know,
had to be of God.
I don't, that's an interesting sideline. Because I don't know. Did they have assistant shepherds out there? Did they just keep them? All that's protected right now. We're taking off. David left his sheep with a keeper and went to Saul's army and that stuff. So I don't know. It's interesting. But go ahead, my brother. Dustin's coming your way.
Well, they would hurry because Jesus is the shepherd.
He is the shepherd. That's good. They left the sheep in good hands. Shepherds watching over. You know what? When it says, there's a word in verse 16 that stands out to me. They hurried to the village and found. That particular word, it's a Greek word that means, the root of it, it means to find out by searching. Means to learn, to understand. In other words, observation number four, is they became seekers. They became seekers. They didn't have a take it or leave it attitude. Man, the other day we were in a public place and one of the moms, a little toddler, had run off. Toddlers sometimes can do funny things. You like hide from their parents. And this one, But they are, we're talking about probably several hundred people, and they are going up and down in this long line of people and looking for this child. I'm telling you, there's a panic that sets woo-hoo, almost get stirred up just thinking about it. A panic that sets in. That mom was not and dad were not casual about seeking that child. They were diligent seekers. Oh God, put in us a seeking heart. That's not casual about this thing, that would just lay it aside and, you know, yeah, God's just all loving God and, you know, but God said, he told them, go to where they are. And they went until they could find where they were being sent and what the purpose was. Let me give you one one reference is Jeremiah 29:13. And I want you to read that with me when we get it up there. Jeremiah 29:13. It's under point number 4. Read it with me. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God's promise is to be found. But our part is to seek and to find. Become seekers. Karen.
Hello. I just want to share something real quick. You know, I really love reading the Bible because, like, you know, it's, I feel like all of our hearts are like, what is it called? Do you know, like, the parable of the sower seed? It explains that, you know, our hearts are like, what is it, like?
Dark soil.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like a planting seed. I mean, or a plant where we can, God plants seeds and stuff like that.
That's right.
One thing I've learned when it comes to reading the Bible is instead of saying, like, oh, let me see what I can get from the Bible, is like, God, what do you want me to get from the Bible today?
Yes.
You know, like,
thank
surrendering
you.
Yourself.
That's right.
You know, being a young person, sometimes I'm just like, oh, you know, it's just another book, you know. But, you know, surrendering my heart to God and then just reading and, you know, praying to the Lord, what do you have for me today? You know, he starts revealing a lot of things and, you know, for the, you know, for what I'm going through at the moment. So, you know, in the Bible verses about the parable of the sower, God says, God basically said wherever he was at around that time, he said, those seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving, for this people's hearts have become calloused.
Right.
They hardly hear with their eyes, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them.
That's right.
I believe, like, sometimes, you know, because of where we're at or the people that we surround ourselves, it keeps us from us completely understanding and, you know, completely,
sure.
You know, understanding what God wants for us to do, to be obedient, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like a lot of times we do have to check our hearts, because I found myself a lot of times having a stone heart because, you know, the people that I've surrounded myself with, you know, they're not very good believers and stuff like that. So I always tell God, like, God, make my heart, you know, to, you know, like, what is it? Stone heart. He makes it into a heart of flesh.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I also like to preach the gospel. So I see different kinds of people that I preach the gospel, and God tells me to give them a word. I've seen some of them take it, you know, with all their heart, and some of them I see their hearts are like stone.
That's right.
And that's whenever I have to pray that the Holy Spirit pierces through those stone hearts so they can understand what I'm saying, you know,
that's
what
right.
God wants.
That's right.
So, yeah, and he also says that sometimes we can have shackles in our eyes that, you know, we don't really can see the way God wants us to see because, you know, we have shackles in our eyes. So I truly believe in prayer to understand what God wants us to do as well, to be obedient. Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
That makes
Thank
sense.
You. If so, if I set myself up to respond to God, then I get more. If I set myself up to push back from the Word of God, then it's my ears are dulled and those things. Somebody got a mic there in that row. Daniel and then Cole.
Okay, sir. I wanted to comment on point number 4, becoming a seeker. And it's very important that we're constantly seeking God, because I even came out of just a season this past few months of just being like, man, I'm not going to pray tonight. I'm good. I'm a little tired. And not seeking God. And it was such a dead and such a dry season.
Yeah.
And it was not fun. Because I never want to, I think there's a scripture that says, godliness with contentment is great gain, but I never want to be content with my position with God.
Good.
If I ever get content, like, okay, God, I have enough of you,
yes.
That's the moment when everything goes wrong. Because mm-hmm. Then I get dry, then it's all on my strength, it's on my shoulders to carry everything. And when that happens, it's just epic fail. Because I can't do it. Every time
yes.
I think, okay, God, I got this. I'm tired of this. You know, because usually when you're seeking God, he'll get to a point where he says, okay, I want you to drop this, or I want you to change this, or can you start doing this?
Yeah.
As you're seeking God. And usually a lot of people stop there. No, God, I don't want you to touch that. I ain't going no further. Don't tell me to do anything. I'm happy right here where I'm at, because if I go any further, I'm going to have to stop such and such, or I'm going to have to start such and such.
good.
It's important never to stop seeking, and it's important never to get content with I have enough of God.
Amen.
If you get to that point, it's never good.
That's good. That's good. Self-reliance and self-sufficiency there. Go ahead, Cole. I'm going to tag on to that, I think.
So we kind of get laid back whenever, seeking God. We kind of lose sight of God, and we're kind of like, "Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it later. I'll get back to it." You know.
Yep.
But like, say somebody loses their phone. What are they doing? They're frantic. They're going around. I need to find this thing right now. Like right
now. Who's got my phone? Somebody stole my phone.
Where is this thing?
Seek it.
Where is it? Come on. That's how we need to be whenever we start to kind of shy away from Jesus. We need I need this back right now.
That's
I need
right.
to get back to the point where I was.
Yes. Amen. That's good. That's a good word. You know what? That Jeremiah 29:13, hang on just a second, Dustin. You'll seek me when you and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know that word find there from the Hebrew? It's because it's Old Testament. It means to be found sufficient. Seek me and find me. Find me sufficient. Finding God sufficient. It means that He'll be enough. When we seek and find Him, then He's enough. We do it on our own. We are not enough. Amen. Dustin, go ahead.
So God just brought this to mind. It's kind of crazy that, you know, to think that, you know, we seek other things, like movies or whatever the latest, you know, trend is. And like I know in my lifetime I see that, you know, people seek it wholeheartedly, and like, you know, they do they lavish in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if people are, you know, so, you know, want to be involved with that, then, you know, why can't we as believers in Christ be that way towards the Word?
That's good. Oh, that's good. That's a good word. God, heighten our hunger after Him. Let's move. I'm not hearing much from this side. Right over here, I let my brother and son and old and sis. You go ahead while they're getting it over there.
Let's talk about the seeking part. I learned that some people, like, they seek differently than others, because sometimes it takes other people longer to seek it than other people.
All right.
And, like, for instance, some people see different seeking. Like, let's say, for instance, like a job, they want to seek that first before they will God and stuff like that. I found that dealing with the seeking part is kind of hard for someone to, what I say, adjust themselves to seek differently when it comes to the Bible and stuff like that. Because even though you seek, you see the Bible, you see the words in the Bible,
uh-huh.
but you're saying to yourself, am I going the right direction when I
sure.
read the Bible?
Sure.
Or am I going the right direction to look for as far as seeking a job or seeking what the worldly things are about? Because
uh-huh.
I learned myself, too, at the age I am, at 37, that now, when I was younger, like 27 and stuff, I didn't seek stuff like I do now that I'm older.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I was looking to. So I told myself, I was like, am I tripping or is this really me? You know, because uh-huh. when you're younger and naive, you don't see what you see when you get older.
Amen.
And it's like you start maturing as your age. You know, the older you get, the more you see things differently as far as seeking. Because back when I was younger, I didn't see what I see now, because people, when they say seeking, they see, other people might see it as a blind spot. Because
right.
a lot of people have a blind spot when it comes to seeking other things. That sometimes it takes other people time to get there to seek, like as far as like the Bible and the Lord and stuff like that. They might be still trying to find their self. Because that's what I had to do. I had to find myself to be where I am now tonight.
Good.
With you guys, because at first I was lost years ago.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
I'm just now starting to catch on as I grow older and get older. and starting to be more, like you were saying earlier, Pastor, about being around basically people that's all positive with the Lord. And I learned that's what you have to do.
Good.
Because where I come from, it was none of that. It wasn't really no church on every corner.
Right.
It was none of that. It was more like, you know, like a negative atmosphere where I grew up in. And so now that I'm here, I'm actually from Oklahoma. I've been here for almost 6 months now. And so this is way different compared to what I grew up in.
Uh-huh.
And so I am glad that God pointed me here. It must have been a reason why he sent me to this church. And
Amen.
Every time I come, I see different things and I seek different stuff. And that's what I do like about seeking new things, because I learned it does well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Listen, we're glad you're here and your family. Thank you for being here and seeking God. And he's enhancing that. Somebody's over here. Got it. Go ahead, my brother.
Several years ago when I was in a very cold place after a series of very painful personal tragedies, my safe space mentally is falling back into really deep head in the clouds theory, Discovery Channel documentaries for early relaxation. And I was having this really deep debate in my own head. And this woman in the church I was going to at the time, I was sitting in the far back, just all by myself, alone. She comes up to me out of blue. She doesn't know me from Adam. And she says straight up, God is not a theory.
That's good.
To someone who is deeply intellectual.
You had somebody walk up and just slap you with a dose of reality, huh? That it wasn't just there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Glory. Was there somebody else on this side already? We're winding this thing down just so you'll understand. And go ahead, Grace.
Just going back to, like, the whole nativity story and the shepherds, I think what I see is if Jesus had come as he deserved, fanfare and, you know, royalty, then would normal people even be able to come to him?
Right.
Shepherds, right. They were just normal, everyday people.
How precious.
And when I look at that, I think Jesus didn't need, you know, the royalty and didn't need, you know, the important people to come. He can still take the important people.
That's right.
But the people he really cares about are just normal, lowly people that just...
Hallelujah.
Those are the people he cares about. It's the people who are basically forgotten because they were in the fields. Probably, you could probably pass that field and not know, even know they're there. But when the angels came and said, hey, I got a message for you, they listened. They were available.
Good.
And then they went. And they were just normal people.
Amen. Aren't you glad that God sought out normal folks that are just found us doing where we were and pulling us that way? About three more verses, and let's look at verse 17. After seeing Luke 2, verse 17, as we continue in that Luke 2nd chapter, after seeing him, can you find that one? After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Something ought to ignite a passion inside of us. Am I right? And he will. And people have gotten your fire lit, not because you got excited because we're in a church with some great people, but because we're in relationship with a great God who lit a fire on the inside of us. See, I didn't know what to do with it. When I'm a teen and graduated from Connolly High School, the next school district over, but those years ago, I knew I had a love for Jesus and a fire in here, but I was pretty timid. And, one breaking out thing was senior year, and I'll encourage you students that are in high school particularly, take your Bible with you to school. Don't put it on the bottom of your books and underneath everything else. Put it on top. Walk down the hall and just, in your class and you have gap time, open it. What I found out that just having that word, and I learned a lot about the Bible that year because of the study time that I had, but I find that there were doors that got open where I could speak about the things of God. Still, never knew I was called to preach, and think pastoring wasn't in anywhere in my radar. But God will appear to shepherds and to us ordinary people and say, I want you to do this. I'm going to use you right here where you are. I'm going to use this. After sinning, the shepherds told everybody what had happened. Verse 18. I read this morning, and it says, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Again, but we don't see any of those people going with the shepherds. We're going to follow you. We're going to go with you. Oh, we're just in awe. Wow, really, that happened. Big deal. And I don't think they respond exactly like that, but they didn't go. Don't be discouraged when people don't flock to the truth that you are so excited about. Don't let it put out your fire. Verse 20, and then you say what you need to about this when we're about to wrap it up. Verse 20, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. What do you see there? Somebody help us. Pastor Teresa, go ahead. There. Hallelujah.
You know, my first thought on this entire passage was, well, why did he choose shepherds in the first place? And if you've ever done a study on shepherds, it's rich. It's so yes. deep. But, you know, they're in their cave doing what they've always done. And I like what Grace said, because she touched on what has just been going through my heart. Yes. Is a lot of times we feel that our past, our experiences has disqualified us from yes. being used in the kingdom of God. But it's those yes. experiences and it's those things that you've gone through that actually qualifies you. And it's because of the lessons the shepherds learned, how they went after the sheep. They learned to seek after the yes. sheep and yes. how they learned to anoint their eyes and anoint yes. their heads and just the wisdom and what all they learned. And it's because of their experiences. They were not held in great esteem by the world's standards,
true.
But they were the first ones that God wanted to tell about the birth of his son. And yes, so I just believe...
Yes. Yes.
That there's people in here that you have felt, I'm nobody.
Stand on up and say that. Stand on up.
And God can't use me.
Hallelujah.
And because I've done whatever. And yeah. I just believe God has just kind of stopped tonight and said, you know what? Hallelujah. I called you and I've qualified you.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Worship team, would you guys go on back up there? God calls. I'm telling you, when these guys went back to keeping sheep, they went back changed. Don't think that you got to be in, have some other kind of label to walk this out. They went back keeping sheep. But they went back like different men. God's called you. As we say yes, he qualifies us. Would you stand up with me tonight? That was just a good invitation. And I want us to worship God. And even if you do that worthy song, or no, whatever you got, you just go. Man, God's been so rich in this place. Listen, prayer partners, would you just come and be up here at the front? Lead us in worship, prayer partners, but others of you, if you need prayer tonight, number one is this. If you've been holding back in some way, you've not said yes to Jesus' ownership, tonight is that night. Some way you always came in less than, so I don't have to respond. And men, women, young people, husbands, wives, singles in this place, that we don't stop short. Would you be able to say yes to Jesus? Sign up tonight as a God seeker. and one that says he's one that's come to open door as house full of shepherds tonight. Lord, we're listening. We're choosing to respond in faith. Choosing to yield to you, Lord Jesus. Yes.
And now my life is yours.
Hallelujah.
And I will sing of your goodness forever.
If you need somebody to pray with you, would you just step out and come? If you want to just come and bow before the Lord, feel free to step out on your own.
Jesus.
Make a physical step. For some that you really need to do that. A physical step that says, I'm not staying where I am. My physical step is saying, Lord, and spiritually, I don't want to stay where I am either.